Well, good to see you all. The gospel I'm going to proclaim is the same exact gospel the Lord's been clarifying for us over the years of our life, and that is, I'm going to proclaim to you the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is actually the one proclaiming it to you, but I get to participate. And actually, Jesus is the one that's listening for us today. Only he can really hear his Father for what his Father is actually saying. But somehow, by sending us the Spirit, by sending you the Spirit, you're going to be able to hear along with Jesus what his Father is saying. So this way we see even from the beginning that all we're doing is participating with God in what he's doing. He's doing both the speaking and the listening. And I'm so encouraged today because I'm like you. You work your job. You know, what I do is in my worship of God and as a pastor is I work my job. I read the scriptures. I study to show myself approved. But you still never know where God is actually at in it. You trust that he is. And so my work is the same as yours. When you go to work, it's an act of faith. You trust that God was actually in it and in what you were saying and what you were thinking about, how you were serving people and your boss. And I'm the same way. But I can say that this morning, since we began to worship and singing, that the Lord's been saying the same thing all the way up to this point that he gave me to say to you today. Actually, the Lord wants to tell you a story today. And he wants to remind you that every story that he has in Scripture is primarily a story about him, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And it primarily points to who he is and what he thinks of us. And what he has done toward us in self-giving love, and what he will always be for us now permanently in Jesus Christ as a human being. The goal of the gospel today, the goal of this proclamation today is the same as always, to help you look away from your problems. So I'm sure right now there's something on your mind you are tempted to be distracted by other than gazing at the Father, Son, and Spirit and remembering their love for you. I know there is for me, and so I know there has to be for you. So your temptation is going to be to look at your problems and look at your sickness. I'll name a few things here. You're going to be tempted when we read the story today to look at your bad habits. Maybe some of you, we may not know about it, but maybe you have bad habits of taking drugs. Maybe you have bad habits of drinking too much alcohol. Maybe you have a rebellion that we just really never see here too much. While everybody's smelling good and looking clean and greeting each other, we don't often see the hidden things. Maybe you're dealing with a temper, or you're kind of a person who's quiet and kindly as you seem. You may really be filled with a lot of rage much of the time. Maybe it's just quiet rage. Some of us are cowards and have to deal with cowardice. And some of us are arrogant, you know, kind of used to running around, doing our own thing, having our own way, throwing our weight around. Or you could fill in the blank. I probably hit enough there to hit most of you. But you're going to be tempted to think of those things today. You're going to be tempted to think I'm first, but I want you to remember what we have sung today along with Jesus. We've sung glorious, that the purpose that we're here is when we hear the people singing and we see them praising and dancing, we now forget about the things we're tempted to bring in here and put in the forefront. Now we step away. We've been invited into a completely different way of thinking through Jesus Christ by the Spirit. It doesn't make any sense because you are the same person in one sense that you were outside the door after you crossed the threshold and came in here in one sense, but in another sense, you're reminded when you cross that threshold in here that you really are in Christ, and in a hidden way, you're someone different. You're someone renewed. You're someone redeemed, and so we sang that today. My Redeemer lives, and if my Redeemer lives, then hey, then he's taken away my shame. He's taken away my guilt. You see, we sung this today. This is the way the gospel's been going. And then we said, as a result of that, I don't have to come in here, and this doesn't have to be about me today primarily. I give myself away, we've sung. You with me? This is the same thing that the story that I'm going to read to you along with Jesus is saying to us today. It's the same thing. And then I've heard another thing throughout today that matches right up with what God wants to say pointedly through this message today. And that is that he loves all people and things. If John didn't just pray for the Christians in Houston. He prayed for all the 5.2 million people that are there. And that's just one of the little place in the United States in one huge state. But that's a lot of people, 5.2 million people. And the Lord has concern for them, such that he has us and probably other brothers and sisters praying for them. And he prayed about the elements because it's a bunch of rain. You know, hey, we like rain in season, but rain out of season, I mean, rain, too much rain, that hurts us. That doesn't help us, but God can affect the rain. He's the one that created the rain. He can change the rain, change the wind and direction. He can cause a storm to work out his purposes. He can preserve people through storms, we've heard today. He loves his people, we heard pray. He has a special community he has put into the earth to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this dark world. And that's us. And yet we don't often or always put God first and point to him first as the truth of our lives. And so she prayed rightly with the Lord Jesus, forgive us of that, Lord. And thank you that now we could have space and time together to remember to confess our sin before you, that you really have taken care of things. We have no reason to really be in true grief or desolation at the things of this world or even at our own sin, because your grace is greater than our sin. So this has all been spoken today so far and in our interaction. And then Jonathan, God spoke through Jonathan to say to us, see, if you can come to me in Christ Jesus and you can love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what I've put into you in my son, Jesus. And as you do that, you'll begin to love your neighbor as yourself. You'll love them with the same love with which I loved you, because that's the command of love in the New Testament, is love one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Wow. All right, so that's the God that's preaching today. That's what God wants to say again today. So let's read a story and just be reminded that this is primarily about God. Again, I got a new Bible, so it's not quite acting right. Like I'm working on it. I'm working in it daily. But it's going to take a while. It takes years to get that Bible where you can just put your fingers right on there. But I'll get there soon enough. All right, so let me just try to participate with Jesus in reading a story. And let's pray. Oh, Father, we think of a story as something just so simple for the most part. When we tell a story, we think of telling something so simple of an illustration that everybody can just get it. And yet, in relating with you, you've taught us that there's no just getting you. There's no just getting stories that you want to tell us. There's no just getting an understanding apart from you really coming into flesh and grasping for us what you're trying to reveal to us about yourself and about who we are. So I don't take for granted here that I can read even a story and expect, first of all, to speak it faithfully to the congregation, nor do I expect that they could receive it for what you're really trying to communicate. But I know by the faith you've given me and us that you can do this. You can pull this off. There's no gap between you and the infinite. You, the infinite God, and we, the finite people, that you can't pull off, because in Jesus Christ you've pulled off, causing those two things to walk in unity. You actually walk as God and man together in perfect harmony and unity. So I thank you for the gospel, which says that you can and will speak to us and give us an understanding and encourage our hearts. So I just pray that, again, would you be the gospel for us yet again? Would you teach it to us again? Help us to remember it again and be the very center of our lives. We love you. We thank you. We receive you as our gospel. We receive you personally as our good news and as the one who has redeemed us, the one who enables us to give ourselves away for participating with you, the one who can love you, who can step outside self and love neighbor, and who in doing all of this in participation with you, glorify you, that we can manifest in flesh your actual love to some degree. This is an incredible gift and act of grace. So bless the speaking and the hearing, and tell us again through this story who you are for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel once again. And I've named this, by the way, God, and that's the emphasis here, but God pursues. Maybe if we could even just not think of the rest of it for a minute. God pursues. That's the character trait of God he wants to communicate today. But he pursues disobedient prophets. That's trying to say to us clearly, God has to, he pursues even his own people who are disobedient, as we were praying, need forgiveness. And all people, really, in Christ. That's what we're going to see about his character today. So are you disobedient? Are you a disobedient Christian, you could say? Are you a disobedient person? Do you mess up things in creation and really don't treat everyone and everything like you ought to? Well, here's your gospel today. God pursues you. He pursues you regardless of that. All right, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I know from studying this that Tarshish is in exactly the opposite direction of Nineveh. I mean, the exact opposite. God said, "Go this way." Jonah said, "I'm going this way, away from you." So he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. I wonder how many of us have run or are now running from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. I wonder how many of you are asleep or have been asleep or were preparing to sleep. Verse 6, the captain came and said to him, the heathen came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The heathen sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he was so dumb, he told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. And remember, at the hand of God, God hurled the great wind that stirred the sea. Verse 12, he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. These heathens still were kind of good people. They didn't want Jonah to die. This can't be the way. Verse 14, then they cried out to the Lord, to Jehovah. This is same God of his. "Oh, please, oh Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood. We don't want to have to cast him out to the sea and cause murder to happen, but we don't know what to do. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So you see humility there. So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. How many of you have ever been picked up and thrown into the sea and things calmed down for the heathens? Then the men feared the Lord. Look at this. Then as a result of all this interaction, the men feared the Lord even more. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord, look, while men and women are reacting, God's acting in love. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah instead of letting Jonah drown. That's what you kind of got to carry forth in your mind. We can often think, whoa, these things are swallowing me up too. But the thing to look at is, look at the Lord. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah so he wouldn't drown. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Oh, y'all see what that's pointing towards already. Yeah, yeah, we'll come back to that. There's the Lord, though, right in the middle of this mess. There he is. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. The heathens got the Christian back to the Lord. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, in the middle of the mess, in the dark place, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. What places have you run into that are far away from God and somehow he still meets you there? Maybe meeting you now to answer you in that place. Out of the belly of hell, Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. God can hear you anywhere, any place, at any time. There's not anywhere you can go, high or low, that he does not hear you. That's a very personal term. That's a relational term. That means his ears are open to you, to listen to you, even now in the context of you running, rebelling, and having to suffer a major trial, almost being drowned. He yet hears your voice. Jonah continues to cry out, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. I wonder how many of you think the devil did it. You cast me in love, in mercy for me, into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. There's a sense in which we can receive that in God's love, everything that happens to us comes to us in God's love. Now, yeah, it may be used by the hand of the enemy, but he says in this case, this were your waves and your billows. The things that were trying to drown me actually only came in your providential freedom and sovereignty to let it happen. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple if I die, if I keep running from you? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. I was in a spot I couldn't get out. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. I just ran from you. I about drowned and died. And you sent a fish to save me. And right there he's saying, thank you. He's saying, help. And he's saying, thank you. Oh, Lord, my God. See, that's something I've been hearing in every prayer. I think in everybody today, I've heard the same thing in all of you. I was so pleased and grateful to serve with you today, to see the Holy Spirit moving among the people here, because I heard thanksgiving coming out of everybody's lips today. All who have been before us have said thanks many times to God, Father, Son, and Spirit. I want to know, you can only say that by the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah, to acknowledge thanks in the middle of the mess that we all live in and the problems we bring to the table, the distractions we could be letting face us. And here we all said, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. This is beautiful. And that's what he's saying here. Oh, Lord, my God, as my life was ebbing away, and it deserved to ebb away because I turned from you, who is life, and I turned in the opposite direction to death, and yet you, Lord God, while my life was ebbing away, brought up my life from the pit. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and your holy temple. Woo-hoo. There's your instruction. What are you doing in this deep pit you're in right now, this darkness, this anxiety, this doubt? You don't even know what to do or even what the problem is. send your prayer up to the Lord. He's waiting to hear you. Because his holy temple now is not what Jonah was looking for. His holy temple now is you. He's come and abided in you by the Spirit. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. He's saying when we turn to any other way than God, we are worshiping idols. And I've heard this brought up today too. Listen to that. He's speaking today. They forsake their true loyalty, the one who's truly loyal to them, and that's God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Verse 9, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Now look at his faith. Look where he's at saying that. He's still in the mess. He's saying, but I am delivered. It may not be what I like. These teeth are like bars around me here. I still can't get out of them. In the middle of the sea, I'm at the root of the mountains. That means just down there where the part of the mountain that's under the water, you can't see and you don't really want to be. That's where he's at in his fish. And then look what the Lord does. Look at the Lord as a result of this. He's stirring this up, bringing this situation to pass. Then the Lord spoke to the fish. He spoke to this particular fish. This particular problem, this particular saving grace of God, and it spewed Jonah out in the deep water so that he finally had to swim back to shore and almost drown. No, no. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. Look at the Lord's mercy. After all this turning away from him, and we turn back to him in prayer, and he'll spew you out on land. Think of all the places he could have been spewed out. And God said, no, there's more for you with me, buddy. You're going to be safe. Come on, you're safe. Dry land. We're good. We're good. I love you. I'm with you. I'm pursuing you. Chapter 3, verse 1. Here it comes again. You just can't seem to get away from it here. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, to this rebellious servant of his. It came to him. God is active, dynamic, personal, relational. He came a second time. God will give you another chance. He'll give you another chance. Just come on back. Just pray. He's right there. He pursues you. Pray. Call upon him. He'll talk again, saying, get up. Go to Nineveh. Now, don't expect that just because you've been repenting that he's not going to tell you the same thing he told you before. His instructions were quite clear the first time, and he meant it, and it's clear again now. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. And remember the God who is behind this. If God wants to get across a message to you, that could only mean good news. That could only ultimately mean your best is in order. This is what God has revealed to us in Jesus. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh. Oh, look at that. Look what all those trials worked out in Jonah's life. Brought him back to the Lord and obeying him and his purposes. According to the word of the Lord, he now went, not disobeying the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Think about that. Now, as big as these cities are, we in, you can get past them in 3 days easy. This just gives you some sense on how huge this city was. He walked for one whole day, and he still had two-thirds of the city left to go. Think about that.